All right, Matthew 6, we're going to read in verse 25. One of my favorite passages of Scripture in all the Bible. In fact, I don't know if you claim a life verse or one that's your favorite right now. I've had a few in my time as a Christian. Probably right now the one that I lean on the most is Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You can imagine why that's my verse right now. when I first started trying to live for the Lord, 13 years old, really, when I got serious about it, you know. I was baptized when I was 11, made a profession of faith then. But about 13 years old, which is young for most people, I found this verse and I thought, boy, I really like verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And honestly, then, as a preteen and on into my teenage years, I had the wrong focus with that verse. All these things will be added to you, right? Sort of the Tim Tebow thing. Okay, I'm gonna serve Jesus, but I want to be a millionaire because I'm serving Jesus, that kind of thing. But the Lord has showed me the rest of these verses. Still very precious to me. We're in the middle of a study through the book of 1 John. If the truth be told, I just didn't get it done this week. I worked on it, and I worked on it, and I worked on it. And I had pulled this sermon out earlier in the summer. And some of you can see the file where I keep these things. We try to collaborate to make everything run smoothly on Sunday mornings. And I've had this sermon sitting there for a few weeks, and I thought, I really, really want to preach this, but I didn't know why. I thought maybe I'd preach it on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, and I couldn't get... I worked, and I worked, and I worked, and it came up to yesterday afternoon. And, you know, you don't... Those Saturday night specials are not a good thing for preachers to be doing. I try to finish my Sunday morning by Thursday at the latest, and I just couldn't get there. So I stopped, and I prayed. And this sermon came to my mind, and I thought, well, I'll preach that this morning. So hopefully this is what's intended. And if it's not, then you'll just have to bear with me, okay? Y'all heard about the preacher who got in the car with his wife after the sermon. Things didn't go so well that day. And he said, boy, I taxied and I taxied and I taxied on the runway, and I just never could get the plane off the ground. And she said, well, why did you taxi for so long? I won't do that to you this morning, I promise. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Ponder that for a minute. What do we typically spend most of our time thinking about? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray together. Father, I find myself too many times worrying. I thank you for this passage that helps me better understand myself and to better understand you and have the right perspective on life. Please take this word today and use it to encourage your saints. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to be conformed to the image of the Son through the Word. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. We live in an ever-worrying world. Can I get any witnesses here this morning? The rest of y'all want to be in this club with me? I find myself there more than I should. Worry, worry, worry. My pastor, as I grew up, used to always say, we hurry to worry to bury. I know it's Barry, but it rhymes better that way. Our lives are constantly filled with unnecessary anxiety. And the things we worry over are legitimate items that are important to everyone's life, but do they really need to be worried over? Today I want to give you the fix for this. Wouldn't you like the fix? The cure for your anxiety. And I believe that in this passage, the cure that we see for anxiety, for worrying, is to operate in the present. Verse 34 teaches us not to worry about tomorrow. Verse 33 said, seek God's plan for your life and your worry will be taken care of. Notice the items that we see that are items of anxiety here in the text. What to eat and what to drink. Well, that's typical of a Sunday morning crowd. What are you thinking about? What is our next thought as we think through our day? After church today, hopefully you're going to stay for Sunday school. And after Sunday school, we're thinking about where we're going to go and eat. What are we going to have for dinner today? I mean, I woke up this morning and I saw some meat defrosting in the sink there. And I thought, oh, I wonder how she's going to make that this morning. And then I have thought and thought about it. And I thought, is it going to get defrosted in time? You know, as if my wife doesn't fix us a nice meal every Sunday afternoon. But I'm already worrying over that meat because I want to eat it. It looked good. What to eat, what to drink, have become items of anxiety here for us. And Jesus brings that up. We pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Isn't that something we pray sometimes? But we worry all through that day if we're going to have enough money to buy the things that we need. What does that make that prayer? Worthless. Jesus calls us, He calls those He's speaking to here, and I'm going to accuse us this morning in the same way. You of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Oh, me of little faith. What to eat, what to drink. He takes it a little farther than that, and we're all really can be accused of this one. What clothes to wear. Oh, isn't that a silly thing to worry over? I'm going to be honest. I don't mean to make this about me this morning, but I got this outfit out last night. I mean, I looked it over. I changed ties twice. You know, the first one I picked out, I decided this morning it didn't match. I made sure my shoes were shiny and my socks matched, and everything was just so. Worrying over what to wear. Don't y'all wish we could go on to the future? Like, y'all seen shows about the future? You know how everybody dresses in the future? The gray jumpsuits? Everybody. Every show about the future, everybody's in these silver jumpsuits. It just zips up the front and that's that. Don't you wish we'd just go ahead and do that and be done with all of this? Or go back to the past? I guess even back then they had robes of righteousness and different things. But I think back to Jesus' time, they just, you know, put a robe on or whatever it was, and that was that. You were done with it. I could probably eat a little more. This one's a little tight this morning. What clothes to wear, what to eat, what to drink. These items are not the cause of our anxiety, though. Really, the cause of our anxiety is lack of faith. We can't trust God as we should. You see, we can't just observe the past and learn from it and trust God as we go toward the future, as we've seen Him get us through in the past. We have to pick through every detail of the past as if we think we could change it. And we can't just plan for the future. We feel the need to try and orchestrate every detail of the future as if we can control things that we don't even know about. Really, this passage is nice to us. He only lists a few things here as Jesus is speaking that we worry about. If you're like me, you worry about much, much more than just what to eat, what to drink, what clothes to wear. I worry like this. Am I going to be able to, just fill in the blank there, you know, just whatever. Am I going to be able to live to see my sons get married? Am I going to be able to retire when I get to that part of my life? Am I going to be able to hit this golf ball straight? No, never. I worry like that. Or I worry, is the government going to ... and worry and worry. I've had to quit watching the news. It was the big one, Elizabeth. I thought I was coming to join her. Every time I watch the news, I get like this. Is the government going to? I'll think back to the past and I'll say, well, did I blank yesterday or last week or the last time I saw them? Did I do this or did I do that? Or did I forget this or did I forget that? Worrying. All of these questions have a very good answer. The problem is we think the answer to our anxiety is far too easy. You see, the answer to all of life's problems is Jesus Christ. But that's just too simple. It's like we say to ourselves, I know Jesus cares. You know, the disciples in the boat in the middle of the storm, does Jesus care? I know He cares, but He's asleep in the boat and I'm about to fall off the edge here. We're mature Christians enough to say, well, I know that He cares, but... You see, there we went right from trust to lack of faith. And Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith. So we are anxious. We worry due to our lack of faith. Let's look through our text this morning. I'm going to give you three headings as we look through it. First, observing the past. Look back, observing the past. Orchestrating the future, trying to look ahead. Work through the minute details. And then we'll finish with operating in the present. Those are the three headings I would like to speak to you about this morning. First, verse 26 down through verse number 30, observing the past. This portion of the chapter begins with Jesus saying, don't worry about your life. That's easier said than done. From there, He gives us such simple illustrations. He begins in verse 26 with the birds. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? The birds. You know, birds eat pretty well. Don't they? Do the birds around your house eat pretty well? Even when we don't feed them as we like to intend to. The birds around my house, it just seems like there's an abundance of things for them to munch on. The squirrels, too. I think I'm running a squirrel resort. This past winter, we had way too many acorns. And then as I munched up the leaves with the lawnmower and I began to mow the grass, those acorns have all been kind of crunched up together. And boy, the squirrels are starting to look like me. They're very healthy looking squirrels. And there's more and more and more of these. But think of the birds. Birds never plant a garden. Birds never go to the grocery store. Birds never fill a fridge. But they always have something to eat. There's a story of a snowy day in Georgia. And a man was sitting in his office and he was watching the parking lot and kind of iced over in spots and a little bit of snow. And some birds were out there sort of pecking around. You know, you would think Michigan birds migrating to Georgia would be safe from winter. And these birds were hungry and everything had frozen up. And they weren't going to eat. And the man began to worry about these birds. And all of a sudden, came a big truck by. He didn't know what was on the truck. He just saw this truck going. But he noticed as the truck went by, there was a flap loose on this truck and railroad tracks here. And as the truck went across the railroad tracks, it shook really good. And guess what popped out of this truck? Some corn. There were a lot of corn, used for corn and plants around there. And enough corn strewed out of that truck that the birds were able to eat. Truck went off the road and pulled in and parked. And the man sat there and he thought about it. And he thought, well, that's great. God fed the birds. He said He would feed the birds. But I wonder where that corn came from. And he's in Georgia. And he walked across the street and he talked to the truck driver. And he said, hey, man, where did this truck come from? And he said, Nebraska. And he thought, well, that's great. All the way from the... And he said, thanks. And he was making his way back to the office. And the guy stopped him and he said, hey, let me tell you something. He said, I don't know if you even care. He said, this truck came from Nebraska. But this corn wasn't just harvested last week when I picked it up. Way back in the harvest time, they harvested this and put it in a silo so that when I pulled up, I could fill my truck to get it here during the winter. And long before that, you know the rest of the story. Somebody had to prepare the land and plant this ground. God had to allow that seed to germinate to grow the corn. All along this timeline, do you see what God was doing? He was preparing for a truck to hit a railroad track and bump a little bit. Who knows how that flap got open to feed those little birds. They had migrated south, and here comes some winter weather, and they needed something to eat. And God scattered just enough corn to feed them. And what does Jesus say? Are you not much better than they? I get convicted when I read that, because I begin to think to myself, really, I'm not. Those birds have ultimate faith in Jesus and God, their Creator. They sing His praises every morning. They get up and they chirp. Some of them annoy me. I got birds near my house that sing, wake up, the sun is up, the dew is on the buttercup. And then I say, shut up, I'm not up. Yes, of course we're much better than the birds. What am I worrying about? I'm so much more important to my Heavenly Father than the birds are. You may not feel you are today, but you can see right here in the Scripture, Jesus feels like you are. That will increase your faith. And then he moves to flowers. Look at the flowers. Look at the grass. They don't buy any clothes. And that would be silly, wouldn't it? A rose in a department store looking for a new dress. Flowers don't buy clothes. They never get dressed. They never change their clothes. They don't use the washing machine. In fact, Jesus said they're here today, they're gone tomorrow. And that is very true. I love azaleas. I have azaleas in front of my house. If you know anything about azaleas, you know that they're just there most of the year. And only for about a month and a half are they beautiful. The rest of the year, if you don't like azaleas, they're ugly to you because they're kind of out of shape and they're just green. But man, right around Easter, right up until Mother's Day, they're the most beautiful things in all the world. Some things haven't even put out their blooms yet, but there are those azaleas. But they're kind of here today and gone tomorrow. Even the grass, he said here in the text, which is bound to be gathered up and placed into the oven. How many of you are ready to burn up all your grass right now? Oh my goodness. I had to mow over my backyard 3 times this last week, and I only let it go 2 days longer than normal, and I couldn't get it all knocked down. It was unbelievable. God makes sure that the plants are clothed. And what are we sitting around worrying about? What am I going to wear today? I love what Jesus says here about Solomon. If you don't know about King Solomon, Solomon had the best of the best. Solomon said, I have lived and I have done it all. He confessed that of himself. He said, I have allowed every pleasure upon the face of the earth to come in contact with my being. Even sinful things. Solomon admitted, even sinful. Read Ecclesiastes. Solomon said, I've done it all. And of course, you know his conclusion was, it's all vanity. But you can imagine a man who could say, oh, I've experienced all of it. Where people would come, royalty from other countries would come to just look at what Solomon had done. And what does Jesus say about the flowers? That even Solomon and all his splendor was never clothed like one of the lilies of the field. We took a hiking trip this week, and other than trying to catch my breath, not die because it was 92 degrees outside, I enjoyed myself. We were going along through there, and there's mostly green underbrush. But then all of a sudden, in the midst of all of this green underbrush, was just this one little, I don't even know what it was. It was four-leaved purple flower. Just all by itself. It weren't like we came up on some flowers, just this one purple flower. And I stopped for a minute and I told my wife, I said, look at that purple flower. And I feel like that guy sometimes. You know, you ever feel like you're just all alone in the midst of a whole bunch of stuff that's not like you? And there stood this one flower. God makes sure the plants are clothed. You're more important to the than the flowers, aren't you? Will God not clothe you? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So why are you worrying? Is worrying adding 1 minute to your life? No, you all know that worrying is actually doing what to your life? Taking some away. Does being anxious make you one bit a better person? No, not at all. The idea here is to observe the past. Don't pick through the past. Observe it. Look around at what you already know. Be aware of the information you have from past worries and allow that knowledge to increase your faith. Observe the past seasons of life and know the flowers keep coming back. The birds keep singing year after year. Second, verse 34, not only should we observe the past, but then there's this idea of orchestrating the future. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I don't enjoy being sick, but I at times enjoy a sick day. Do you guys enjoy a sick day? Especially if I'm not really, really sick, you know, just need a day. One of the things I enjoy most about a sick day, just kind of lay around, rest, take your medicine, drink your chicken soup or whatever it is you do. You kind of stay in bed. You don't take the phone calls. You don't check the emails. You know, you're unplugged for that day. One thing I love about it is usually by the next day, the things that I would have worried about that day have already been taken care of. Now there's 150 emails, but they're mostly just delete, 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 delete. You know, the sporting goods store's having a sale, and Best Buy's having a sale, and Old Navy's having a sale, and they all need to email me and tell me about it 13 times that day. But usually by the next day, things are gone. Jesus says here, don't think about tomorrow. The morrow will eventually become today. That's the idea. But I love to try and orchestrate the future. I feel a sense of ownership and purpose when I have worried good and hard ahead of time about something. Even if it goes bad, at least I feel good that I worried good and hard about it before it went bad. You know, I feel like I've really done something. This isn't going as I planned. It's not going how we wanted it to. I feel like I've let those down around me. Well, at least I can feel good that I worried that it would go better and it didn't, but at least I worried about it. Now, it's not a sin to plan ahead. In fact, we know that it's irresponsible not to. Prepare for the future. Live today as if you're going to live forever. Plan as if this is your last, or I got that opposite. Plan as if you're going to live forever. Live as if today was your last. But it's a sin not to. We're to be good stewards with all God's entrusted us. Surely we are. But trying to orchestrate every little detail that you could never control leads to anxiety that your body is not designed to handle. Who put the human body together? God. God designed our makeup with the intention that we would always look to Him. We mess this up and we try to take things into our own hands and fail to exercise faith in God. Faith is the natural process. Anxiety is the result of sin's curse. We are designed to be people of faith, but because we live in a sinful flesh, we usually operate in anxiety instead of faith. Jesus says that we have enough to deal with today. Can Jesus get an amen? Do you have enough to deal with today? Now, I know it's Sunday. Maybe you don't have too much to deal with today, but tomorrow, when that becomes today, you've got enough to do on Monday. I used to take Mondays off. That used to be my off day around the church. Some of you figured me out. I've started working on Mondays now. I'll tell you why I started doing that. Someone said to me, if you're going to be miserable all day on Monday anyways, why take the day off? Just work and get paid for it. And I said, amen, that's right. We have enough to deal with today. Don't worry about tomorrow's troubles. Tomorrow will soon enough become today. And there you will find another tomorrow to look to. If you spend your entire life worrying about tomorrow, you will never run out of things to worry about. The problem for the Christian here is that while being anxious for tomorrow, we never fulfill God's purpose for today. Don't fall into that slump in your Christian life, and let's not fall into that slump as a church. We have plans for things in the future, but we can't forget about today. Today is much more important. When tomorrow becomes today, we find ourselves not handling the purpose for today. Rather, we do what we have become accustomed to. We worry about tomorrow. On this path, we could worry through a life that never accomplishes anything at all. So plan for the future. Prepare yourselves. But don't try and orchestrate it. Que sera, sera. All right, good. Some of you have watched Barney Fife too. That's where I get all my philosophy from. That's not Barney Fife original, if you didn't know that. I just found that out a couple of days ago. Observe the past and learn from it, but live in the present. Don't try and orchestrate the future. Don't worry over the past. operate in the present. That's verse 33, my favorite of these verses. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things is the largest majority of what most of our lives are consumed with. Jesus says the cure for our anxiety is to let all of these things take care of themselves while we ourselves put our faith in God. That requires faith. Don't we know that without faith it's impossible to please God? We know that. We've been told that. In fact, we will pray at times, Lord, increase my faith. Yeah, we know that. This should lead us to inventory our lives and ask the hard question, who then am I living to please, myself or God? Now, we're all believers here this morning. I hope you're a believer. Surely you would answer, at least on the surface, I'm not living to please myself. I am living to please God. But inventory your life. Ask yourself the hard question this morning. Who am I living to please? Am I living unto the worry of all of these things? Or have I trusted all of these things to God? And am I living unto Him? This is what it looks like when you're living to please self. You'll say things like, I want to do this or I want to do that for God, but I have to do all of these things. I wished I could make it to that thing that I want to do for God, but I don't have a choice because I have to do this thing. What have you learned as an adult about having to do things? Even the things that you have to do, sometimes you can procrastinate, put off to another day, find an excuse not to do. Even the things that you have to do, sometimes you don't really have to do them right then or on that day. Men, do you have a honey-do list at home of things that haven't been done for a couple years now? Keep meaning to? We have to do it. It's what I've got to do on Saturday. But then something else happens and I do another thing. But when we're living unto self, we'll say, well, we want to do that for God. Our intentions are good. But then our actions don't follow that up. I love how small Christ can make all of my biggest worries seem. Today it's a mountain before me. But as I trust God and get over the mountain, I look back and I'll think, oh, that was nothing. It was tiny, but it was so big to me to start with. To us, our worries are the biggest thing at that moment that we've ever had to deal with in life. But to Christ, do you know what they are? They're just all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't take any thought of what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Just seek God's kingdom. Seek to serve Him, and all these things will be taken care of. But when we're serving self, it's, I want to do that, but I have to do this. But when we're serving God, it's like this. Lord, I have all of this on my plate, but what would you have me to do today? I've got a very busy day, but instead of rushing off without my time of prayer, I'm going to spend some extra time in prayer getting ready for my busy day that I need to get to, even if I'm a little late, or even if I have to get out of bed a little early so I'm not late. That's probably the better way. Things are really bad for me right now, but instead of trying to fix things that I can't control or things that I can't change, I'm just going to spend my time helping somebody who needs me. But what do we typically do when things are really bad for us? We sit around and worry about how to fix things that are really bad for us instead of pouring our lives into somebody who needs us. We worry about what we can't change instead of doing something about what we can change. The cure for your anxiety, the fix to this problem, is to stop trying to orchestrate the future, stop trying to nitpick the past, and just operate in the present. Let me illustrate this for you. You can imagine a boat in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of a storm. Waves, the boat rocking. I'm not very good with boat rocking. I just, even like on the little lakes and rivers around here, just the, you know, the waves that are this big, and it rocks the boat just a little bit, I'm kind of panicky. But that, the captain of a ship, he can't orchestrate the future, can he? I mean, when you're out on the middle of the water, you have the waves and whatever causes the waves moving. You have the wind moving on top of the waves, and you have people moving on top of the wind and the waves moving. You have a lot going on there. A ship's captain cannot orchestrate the future. He's on a boat floating on the unstable sea. He also can't change the past. It is already washed away past him, behind him. To be successful, a captain must operate in the present. He has to take the waves as they come and trust that they will carry him ashore. So we are on the sea of life. Our past is washed away, and our future is as unknown as an ocean's wave. As we learn in faith to operate in the present, we can stay afloat and reach the shore. What about you? What about all your anxieties, all of your cares? We sing the song, "All Your Anxieties, All Your Cares, Take to the Mercy Seat and Leave Them There." What are you doing with yours? If you're anything like me, you say, "Well, I'm responsible for this. I'm going to make sure it gets taken care of." And I'm not telling you to shun your responsibilities. No, not in the least. I'm just telling you that your Father in heaven can handle it a lot better than you can. He has bigger shoulders than you do. Jesus said, "Come unto me if you're heavy laden, if you're weary, and I'll give you rest." You're trying to tote your own yoke and tote it yourself. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." He said, "You will find rest for your souls." We're a very anxious people. We're a very worrisome people. The world that we live in right now, the world that we live in right now has changed just in my lifetime. I'm 32 years old, not very old at all. It has changed a lot just in my lifetime. I've been married for 12 years. It has changed a lot, 13 years, sorry, dear. We just had an anniversary. Just in the 13 years that I've been married, the world has changed a lot. My oldest is 10 years old. It has changed a lot just since he's been born. My youngest is 3 years old. The world has changed the most just since he's been born. It's a very unique time for Christians. But doesn't our Father know that? Doesn't he know the things that we have need of? Surely he does. So why are you worrying? Why are you anxious? God feeds the birds. Aren't you much greater than they? God clothes the flowers. Aren't you more important to him than they are? What are you worrying about? Oh, you have little faith. Let's stand and pray. Fathers, we come to this time of prayer this morning. We're so thankful for your word. Help us to trust you this morning. Give us a good dose of that. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Father, increase our faith. Bless this time of prayer now. In Jesus' name, amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take a time of prayer. If you want to come and pray in these altars, come right now. There's a place where you can kneel and pray. If you can't, you want to just pray in your seat there, pray in your seat. If you're here this morning and you're an unbeliever, come and let me show you about forgiveness, how your sins can be forgiven, how Jesus can become Lord of your life. As the pianist plays, let's all pray together.